item number three.
From the Interim Chief Information Officer, Department of Administrative Services, Information Management Services, submitting an information report regarding the electronic medical record system. The filing is referred to the committee, to this committee, as well as Health and Human Needs. It's informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Ms. Minella. Mr. Pillai.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman and Supervisors. Lori Minella, Interim Chief Information Officer. We have an information report before you on the electronic medical records system. IMSD was given the authority to run with this project for both BHD and the Sheriff's Department. We did an information report in the month of January on phase one. We are now on phase two. And I'd like to hand it over to Mr. Pillai to give the update. Mr. Pillai is our program manager. If you recall, we did an RFP back in August of last year. And he and his team have been doing a great job in working with the Sheriff's Department and BHD in getting the requirements and helping us find the right solution for our departments.
Mr. Chairman, you have the report. We are in the process right now of what we are calling as positioning for vendor demonstration. It's a very important component. Let me step back a little bit and explain the process until we got here. We submitted RFPs to about 10 vendors, and we opened it out in the procurement process in our portal, as well as we put an advertisement in the paper so we could receive multiple RFP responses back from vendors. We were a little disappointed that we had about 10 letters of intent from vendors saying they would respond to us, but we received fairly minimal responses eventually from the RFP. So we reopened the process, and we called the vendors personally this time around, and we received about 6 RFP responses for BHD and about 7 for Crash, so that was very good. The good news, and the silver lining in all of this, is just about everybody who responded to us were absolutely excellent candidates for that could do both the corrections work as well as the mental health work. Now, some of the vendors do one or the other. Some do only mental health work and some do only corrections work. But at this juncture, we wanted to make sure we're getting the best solution for both areas, so we allow that to happen. We have narrowed it down to 3 vendors for BHD and 3 vendors for corrections. And this decision was made by the individual teams. So BHD had about 20 people in the panel, Sheriff's side close to about 15 people. Inspector Schmidt and his team are extremely involved in this. They are the nurses, the medical director, and the physicians, and the clerical staff in Sheriff's, the admission staff in Sheriff's, are all very intimately involved in this process. So they are the ones who made the decision. I'm supposedly the expert. I even made this decision. But I will tell you, of the selection they have made, just about any one of those vendors would be an excellent selection for us. So I'm pleased by that process. We started the vendor demonstrations for BHD yesterday. We are going to start the vendor demonstrations for corrections next week. So we have one vendor coming on the 12th next week, and then we have another vendor coming on the 21st. The third vendor will also come to BHD. So I'm very excited by this process. And for those of you who may be familiar with the last time we did this in the sheriffs with PIA, the second process is very critical, because the second process, we have very detailed scenarios that happens in our business. So right from the time we have a booking and somebody walks in, and we are booking a person, inmate or otherwise. And right from the time they are moved out of the correction facility, either to south or away from the correction facility, that entire process has been documented, and that entire process, we have built scenarios so that the medical staff, the admission staff, the clerical staff, and everybody in that process can actually review how they can use this software for their day-to-day business and make a recommendation as to what works in their environment. So I'm pleased by the response I've got for creating the scenarios. We start them at a demonstration next week with their involvement, and I'm optimistic that the outcome will be better than what we have.
I intend, Supervisor, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, is to have vendor selection and start contract negotiations and to have a contract back to Finance Committee and back to this committee as informational by June, so that we can start implementation June, July 1. It's aggressive, but we're really shooting for that.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, this is a kind of very broad question about the BHD piece of it. As you know, we're making lots of decisions about how we're going to deliver a future behavioral health system, what kind of services, and there's a lot of expectation that more services will be held in the community than are currently provided. And so I guess my question deals with the ability of the portability of the record system should more and more patients be out in the community, the kind of the transportability of those files, and I guess, is that something that is been recognized within the development of the RFP and with the vendors?
Mr. Chairman, excellent question. In fact, that is one that we are very sensitive to, especially with the changing dynamics of BHD, as you have indicated. We have stated that in the RFP, but we have personally talked to the vendors, especially the three top finalists. When we created the scenarios for them, and we saw one yesterday, what we were very careful to mention to them is, since we don't know what the dynamics looks, is if we are heavy in the inpatient and low in the outpatient, or it changes and we become more in the outpatient, or we become more community service oriented, or more long-term care, whether we have the flexibility to move our patient population around in that mix. Just about every vendor we have selected has the ability to do that. We are looking for a comprehensive solution for BHD, so we are intending to address the inpatient, outpatient, the community service programs, and the long-term care. So even if we increase our mix in that, we should be able to address it. From a technical standpoint, the only issue would come in the licensing, and we have IMSB fiscal involved in this, and I'm sorry, DAS fiscal involved in this. And they are in tune with this change that we're all discussing right now. And they are looking at from a pricing and costing and so on and so forth to look at what that mix will be as we go through the selection process.
And also, as part of that, in addition to the record being able to follow the patient, one of the things that we'll have to be even more involved in is accountability, the ability to do some aggregate tracking of patient outcomes and treatments, that type of thing. Is that part of the mix as well?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, absolutely. I mean, we have the whole intent of going through this electronic medical records and integrating the right from a patient order entry to medication management. That is all going to be very integrated. The good news is that it's probably get somewhere. People are a little nervous, but just about everything that's done by a physician or a psychiatrist or a social worker or a practitioner is documented, both timestamped and with their name. So it is very important that everybody understands what the process is and make sure everything is documented. It's a great thing for us from an auditability standpoint that we have everything documented so that our patient care increases. We're also looking at disease management along with this and tracking and looking at incidence reporting and outcome reporting. So it's very critical to us that we have both the quality metrics, the ability to do quality metrics, but also regulatory requirements. So if there's anything that's coming down the line with federal requirement changes and so on and so forth, or state requirement changes, we should be in a position to address that as we see it right now.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to expand a little bit on what Supervisor DeBruin mentioned, I can tell you from sitting on the Citizen Advisory Board, one of the recommendations that's going to be coming down through the Community Linkages Work Group that's part of the Citizen Advisory Board is to have a comprehensive record system to tie in the outpatient care with inpatient care. And they want to see all the providers that will end up in the network being able to access the same information, because, you know, what's happening now is a client is seen at a couple different organizations. Each organization has to rebuild the wheel more or less and start from the beginning to determine exactly what the needs of the patient are, what their treatment has been so far. And it really, there is a huge disconnect right now. And so they're going to have a strong recommendation that be done. So I think the system that you end up putting together definitely needs to be something that's going to be, you know, whether it's internet-based or I'm not the expert in this, but it has to be able to be accessed by a wide variety of people. And medication management, you had mentioned some of the other things. Medication management is also going to be key, because, you know, what's happening is one of the issues is rather than a $10 or $15 prescription, people's medication management isn't there, and they end up in PCFs and in the inpatient, and we're spending $1,100 a day, whereas we could have just monitored their medication better and taken care of them in the community. So that's something that's going to be important. You mentioned the demonstration going on, and I didn't pick up. Are you going to have the actual users of the program involved in the demonstration and then in the building process? Because I think that's important too. I think one of the mistakes we've seen in the past with the system that went in at the jail is you just came in and gave them a program and said, here it is, use it, and it really doesn't fit the way they actually need it to be used. And so I'm a firm believer that, you know, the hands-on people have to be involved building this thing from the ground up so it gets done right and we don't repeat the mistakes of the past.
Chairman, that's a great question. So let me answer the first part, and I'll answer the latter part shortly. First part, it's a great question. I strongly believe I was involved in the creation of RIOS, which is Regional Health Information Organization and Exchange, REHE, and also WEE, which is Wisconsin Health Information Exchange. I'm a firm believer that the only way we can improve patient care is by creating a network that we manage. And the patient that follows the patient everywhere. In the vendors we are looking at, most of the software, in fact, the one we looked at yesterday also does, have what is called as health information exchange. And what this does is it allows us, VHD as an example, we have various community providers that we outsource business to. We also work with Trader, Medical College, and so on and so forth. We have the ability to integrate them into our health information exchange. And we can monitor the security so that we can give them what information they want to. So that's a great question. It's something very forward-thinking that I think we should look into in the future as we start integrating. And if our plans for BHD changes, we have the ability of doing that. So we're certainly looking into that. On the medication management, we are the intent of medication management is both from our patient care and reducing our PCS and acute capability. We have the ability of tracking patients across all the areas, so we can see how many times they have come to acute, how many times they have come elsewhere, and we can monitor the change of traffic, so to speak, from a patient care standpoint. So that's pretty exciting. In terms of medication management, we will be leveraging the whole module and changing our process to make sure we are making that a little bit more effective for both our businesses, for sheriffs as well as BHV as we move towards implementation. The second part of your question was related to the second part, we had close to about 50 or 60 people come yesterday for that BHV for the demonstration. So we had five sessions, starting from the whole clinical aspect to community services program, to EMR, where we dealt with paid physician order entry and medication management, long-term care, and so on and so forth, but financials and so on and so forth. Each of these groups had close to about, in rooms of that, so just close to about 25, 30 people in each of the sessions. They overlapped across the sessions, but we had a lot of people in there, and there were great questions. People were asking, you know, I do it today, how do I see this in the new system? So I'm very excited by the involvement and the passion that the people who showed up there have demonstrated. It's our job to actually harness that and we come up with a software that they would select that's right for them. And so that's the process that we will follow. And then do the implementation right so that they eventually have a system that they can use long term. So that would be on me, so to speak, to make sure the implementation goes right. But that's the exciting part. There's a lot of people in there, and the process is working to be so that we have everyone excited about what's going on.
Thank you. And then just one final comment. In my private life, I've been involved in a lot of implementations of new software programs, and I can tell you they drive me up a tree every time because these companies always tend to, be overly optimistic on a completion date, and I've seen them go years beyond what they actually tell you. So my suggestion would be make sure you give them ample time to do the job right, but put a hard date in there when it has to be done, and consider maybe some type of penalty if it's not. And same with the price, too. They always find ways to come back and need extra money. But that's my personal experience. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Toward the end, you talked about the interfaceability with different providers. You mentioned long-term care or our contracted providers. I'm specifically focusing on the pharmacy component because some of our clients, hopefully sooner if appropriate rather than later, they're going to be back in the community, back in their home, away from the institutional aspect. Is there going to be an ability for other providers to, with proper credentials, log in and access that data? For example, the independent family practitioner or traditional pharmacy, that would be chain or independent.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, there's two things we're looking at. One of the biggest things we are pushing for when we're looking at these vendors is what's called as meaningful use. I'm sure you're familiar with the term meaningful use. Meaningful use, from a federal government, they're actually established dollars set aside for private medical records. And one of the criteria for meaningful use is a patient portal. So we are looking at vendors who will provide the ability for a patient portal. So a patient can actually go back and take a look at the service that was provided, the medication that was provided, and so on and so forth. They have the ability, and we'll have to take a look at the implementability of this, but they would then have the ability to actually share that with other private practices, physicians that they would want to do. So that's one thing. The second thing is we are also looking at the physician portals where we give our physicians, our outsourced contract physicians, access to that system. Larger groups, we would interface with them directly. But smaller groups, we would probably have a physician portal so they can input data so we know what the care is doing. So from that concept, we should be able to provide that ability to other providers. The area that we are researching at this point is whether that would be another user, which is cost-wise, the user. So that would be the only area we would want to look and see if there's a way we can manage it. Maybe we do it through the health information exchange. But the goal is clearly centered around what you are suggesting, Supervisor. That is, we want to make sure we have the ability to provide those capabilities as a person moves away from institution into other areas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor DeVoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on kind of the general conversation, I really appreciate the way in which you've handled this, including the demonstrations and the amount of people involved. I think that's really important. I guess my only concern that I would share is internal demonstrations. Sometimes people are more focused on what they currently use it for versus this bigger picture. And it is really critical to me that some of the issues that we've all talked about this morning become in the end product, that it is portable for other outside physician access, appropriately done, et cetera, so that patient can have that information follow him or her. And so I just want to make sure that there's, as the review teams are working and trying to select a vendor that you take a look at it to make sure that the makeup of that review team either sees that bigger picture as well and values that as highly as I think the board does, or you add that perspective so that we get that, because I could see that just human nature being, they might be more focused on how they're currently running the system versus where the elected officials and county government management wants to go. That's a harder task to ask people to do. So I'm just asking that you kind of use some of your management vision piece of it and weigh in on that part to make sure that the teams aren't too short-term in focus.
Sure. And just to check on this, just a quick comment on that. Absolutely. The good news of Ben Sankey here is what they have today is fairly inadequate. So they know that too. They're very frustrated and hoping they'll get an electronic system. So I think from a future state standpoint, they are pretty excited about the new system coming and bridging some of the people that they will be doing here. So
and then I have one final question. I'm assuming that the system at BHD and corrections are compatible. We have patients who move who become inmates and inmates who become patients. And some of our own systems sometimes don't allow wraparound type services or the easy sharing of information. But am I correct in assuming that BHD and corrections will be able to share information with these systems?
Mr. Chairman, the supervisor, if we go with two separate systems, so that can be this scenario, we are looking at vendors who have the ability to share critical care documents, which would be critical care information about a patient across both these environments. And just about every vendor we have looked at has the ability to transfer critical care documents. So you're absolutely right, Supervisor. If an inmate who's a mental behavioral health patient rallies over to BHD, we have that information out there, and vice versa, hopefully not, but vice versa, if it happens, we have the ability to share documents through that. The integration issues from a technical standpoint is doable, and we have seen that. We will need to make sure that all the regulatory requirements, HIPAA and everyone consent and so on and so forth, information is taken into consideration. We are taking that into consideration before we actually make it happen. So that's the part we would be looking at doing implementation. Technically, it's doable.
And my just final comment, one example of that, which is, I don't know how much of it's happening in the last few months or whatever, but you know, we've had patients who, or they start in the community on one medication, they have a serious episode and happen to be arrested and are temporarily put in our jail. They have a different pharmacy base, so they get switched. And then they end up, the legal system says this is not the appropriate place for them, and sometimes they go over to BHD and then they're put on a third regimen. So to have three medication changes is very disruptive, and I think one of the ways we start to deal with that, we've paid some attention to that in the past, but there's been disagreement between corrections and BHD over what their pharmacy protocol should be, and I still don't think they're worked out, actually. I think they're still on different protocols, but bottom line, in my opinion, one of the ways to start facilitating improvements in that area is to at least have the systems be able to track, because clients having, first of all, changing from medication in the community to jails, one, you know, may be appropriate, it may not be, and then vice versa to the next, and then to the next again.
We had that very same conversation about that. And it's part of our process, and we have integrated that, included that with the IP also. The ability for us to share that information, and specifically for medication management. And for that specific example, although today as it stands, our protocol from the endpoint, that is the pharmacy vendor, is Goshen's, we are looking at the process. This is probably more intended from a process standpoint. We're looking at the process and saying, critical care document comes with the medication information officer. So I have the visibility into seeing that upfront if I do my diagnosis as a physician. So I have the document with me. We have looked into the possibility of if I have to make a change, what institutes a change, and we have the ability to make a change, track progress, and make a change beyond that. So the whole medical aspect of how I treat a patient, the whole treatment plan associated, will be part of the critical care document. So either one of those physicians, or psychiatrists, making a decision, have the ability to view a critical care document before they make a diagnosis change.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're
thank
welcome.
Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Mellon, did you want to add something?
Mr. Chair, thank you, Supervisors. I wanted to make a comment on TEER, something that Supervisors McNichol had brought up. We looked at TEER and had lessons learned, and when we went through the planning and design phase for the RFP, we met with all the different groups. PhD it was from admissions to the nurses to the physicians to acute care, long-term care, to sale. The list is long. The same with the sheriff's office and the physicians, the nurses, and whatnot. And not only documented the critical requirements of what they need, but looked at their business process. And this was one of the reasons we did the RFP to find somebody who had experience with electronic medical records systems to be our program manager, to make sure that we brought best practices to the table and that we don't do things the way that we used to, but that we do things that meet the business need and take us somewhere. So the RFP was written in a way that we're going to get vendors that truly meet our need. And can bring best practice to the table. So I think we're going to end up with a very good program, a very good tool that is going to help the doctors, the nurses, the admissions, the finance folks, also the community.
Thank you very much. With respect to this topic, we have a master's degree nurse and we have a pharmacy delivery services gentlemen over here, so the questions that are asked are pertinent, they're relevant, and they know what they're asking about, so we hope that this comes together. And I also want to let you know that I'm very appreciative of the fact that you have on your panels, you have all these different types of professionals, mm-hmm. different users of the electronic medical record system, because as Ms. Pinello suggested, there's been a lot of problems with respect to the tier system, and I just feel better with knowing that the conscientiousness as relates to what you're doing, how you're doing what you're doing, and what you're bringing to us is information that hopefully is going to lead to a success. So thank you very much. Any other questions, comments? Thank you very much.